Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Hi, I'm Father Cedric Pazenia. I'm a Passionist priest, and I've been sharing about the 12-step program, and I've also been sharing about Alcoholics Anonymous and all other addiction programs, and I want to continue in this episode. I want to share with you from the Gospel of Luke, and this is chapter 10. The 72 disciples returned to Jesus with joy, and they said, "Lord, even demons are subject to us in your name." And Jesus said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I've given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in this, that spirits are subject to you. Rather, rejoice that your names are written in heaven." I love that gospel from the Gospel of Luke because it talks about lasting joy. And it doesn't have to do with circumstances. It has to do with the fact that you have a relationship with God, and because you have this relationship with God, you are going to live forever. Oh, that's so good, because I believe that everybody deep down is searching for happiness. They're searching for joy. That's what our culture is all about. But many people don't know where it can be found, or the happiness that they're grasping for, they seem to be thinking that it's just this temporary happiness, and that's good enough. Well, really, it's not good enough. We can have a lasting happiness. But let's talk more about joy and about happiness, because our culture really is imbued with the search for happiness as if happiness itself is the meaning of life. And it's part of the meaning of life, but it's not the total purpose. The total purpose of life, of course, is a relationship with God and doing His will. And from that, happiness comes. But anyway, in our culture, you know, I'm a great fan of music, and especially rock and roll. Growing up in the 70s and the 80s, I used to listen to music all the time. There was a song by Wet Willie that came out, and the name of the song is "Keep On Smiling." And I love the melody, and I love those words, "Keep on smiling, even when it's hard." You know, when people take pictures, when you get a picture taken of you, even a selfie, most people don't take a picture or just with a straight face. I mean, they smile for the picture because you want people to think you're happy, especially if you just got married, you know, there's all these smiles and different things, because we want people to think that we're happy. That's part of the meaning of life. Really quickly, other songs that I've heard, Bobby McFerrin had this wonderful song out years ago. It came out in the 80s, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." And then there was a song by Pharrell Williams called "Happy" that came out a couple years ago. And so happiness, I believe, is what people are searching for. And we all want to be happy. And why do people drink? Because remember, I'm talking about the 12-step program. And I'm talking about Alcoholics Anonymous. Or why do people have other addictions like overeating or pornography or gambling or drugs? Why are people into all these addictions? Because they want to be happy. People are searching, grasping, looking for happiness. I remember years ago when I was 18 years old, going to college, dating, living the partying lifestyle like most teenagers do. I began waking up in the morning, and as I would stretch in the morning and start to get on with my day, I remember this voice within. It was my own conscience, and it said, "Cedric, you're not happy." And I thought to myself, where is this coming from? And then the next day I would wake up and I'd start to stretch, and that same thing would happen. "Cedric, you're missing something. You're not happy." And I came to understand something, that within all of us, because I have it, I believe that you have it too, it's kind of like a speedometer with a needle. We all have what I call a happiness meter. And it goes from 0 to 100. 100 is you're really, really happy, and 0 is you're not happy at all. And as I was noticing, I began to finally admit, and by the way, we're talking about the 12-step program here. The first step in recovery, the first step in coming to understand that you have an addiction is you admit that you have a problem. And I was admitting that I had a problem, and my problem was I'm not happy. And so when you have a problem, when you finally admit it, you seek a solution, and there is a solution. And the solution that I sought was, because I wasn't happy and it wasn't working with dating and it wasn't working with drinking and it wasn't working with partying and education and money and all the other things that I had, I started to seek a solution, and the solution that I was seeking was God. And as I sought God, finally, it took some time, I received that joy that Jesus was talking about in the gospel, that joy that is lasting, not temporary, because the happiness that I was experiencing was a happiness, but it was a temporal happiness, dating and drinking. And, you know, drinking brought me a nice high, but it went away. And sometimes if you drank too much, it came with a great cost, a bottoming out, a hangover. It was terrible. So all the things that the world was telling me would make me happy wasn't making me happy. So I sought a solution, and my solution was God. And in God, I found what I was looking for. And my happiness meter went from 10 to way up. Where's your happiness meter right now? Are you happy? And if you're not, I'm inviting you to seek a solution. Is it at 10? Is it at 50? Is it a little higher? And be honest with yourself. In fact, the word in the 12-step program is be rigorously honest with yourself. And that's how you can come to admit. And I finally admitted to myself, and that took some humility, because a lot of times, you know, we want to deceive ourselves and say, yeah, I'm happy, I'm fine, everything's going fine. Where everything wasn't going fine for me. And God was speaking to me through my conscience. And I pray that you'll understand your own happiness meter and where you are, because I believe that this happiness meter really is something that God puts in us so that we can evaluate our lives properly. And for me, I began to seek God. Now let's talk about that first step of AA, the first step of the 12-step program. And the name of this program, by the way, is Step by Step. There are 12 steps in the 12-step program. The first step is that you admit that you have a problem with drinking and that you're powerless over the problem. And so, therefore, you seek a solution. Once you admit it, that you have a problem, you don't just have to stay with the problem. You can seek a solution. And that's what we're all about, the solution to the problem. But I talk about the 12 steps as being a step-by-step process, because there's not just one step, there's 12 of them. And in the 12-step program, you have to keep working the steps over and over and over again. So in other words, you don't just admit that you have a problem one time, you have to admit that you have a problem over and over and over again, and that you're not happy, so that you will continue to seek the solution. And I'll come to that solution in a little while as I talk more about the steps. So in other words, as I said, you have to admit that there's a problem. Is there a problem in your life with drinking or drugging or pornography, as I've said, or overeating or gambling or any other substance? If there is, admit it. Unconfronted issues are never going to get better. And if you have an issue like an addiction or anger or resentment or fear, it's never going to get better if you just keep denying it or pushing it aside. You must stand up to it and confront it and admit it. The hallmark of the 12-step program is humility. Because one of the great problems that we have as humans is pride. Pride goeth before a fall. We've all heard that right from the Bible. But pride is, it's selfishness, yes, but it's exaggerated self-importance, thinking that you're right all the time. Where humility is an open-mindedness and an openness to something more. And that's something that I had to go through as a young man, because I thought I had all the answers. I, you know, I was educated and doing what the culture was telling me to do. And finally, I came to myself and I said, you know what? I'm not happy. There's something outside of me that I need to find in order to make me happy. And I found it. It's a relationship with God. And that's exactly where the 12-step program points us. It points us to God as a higher power, as we understand Him, not trying to make us religious per se, not trying to make us join any denomination, but it's pointing us to God as you can understand Him, a power greater than yourself. So, first step, you admit that you have a problem. And not just that you have a problem, but that you are powerless. Talk about that here for a minute. Powerless over the problem. I thought about something. You know, all of us were born, but none of us had control over our birth. We didn't have control over being male or female. We didn't have control over where we were going to be born or to whom we were going to be born. We don't even have control over our own death and how we're going to die. So there's a lot of things in life that we are powerless over. So powerlessness is part of being human. I remember I was preaching one time, and I've been a priest now today for 27 years. Today is my anniversary as I'm taping this. I've been a priest for 27 years, and I go around the country preaching parish missions. I also record for television and radio. I write books. I've written 21 books to date. And as I preach, it's wonderful to see God working through me. But sometimes when I'm preaching, I feel so powerless. For example, I remember there was a time I was preaching a mission in Erlanger, Kentucky. Erlanger is just a little bit south of Cincinnati, Ohio. And Erlanger, there was a church there that I had been invited to give a mission. And as I'm preaching one night, I remember it was early on in my career, and I was up in front of hundreds and hundreds of people, and I was talking about change and how you can be reconciled to God and that you can come to God just as you are, and God will love you and receive you and accept you. And as I was preaching, I was really struggling. I was distracted. I was thinking, you know, they're not getting it. And so what I did is I only preached for about 15 minutes. You're supposed to be up there during a mission homily. We call it a sermon. During a mission sermon, you're supposed to be up there for about 40 minutes because it's a big evening event. After about 15 minutes, I just shut down and I stopped. And you know, I offered confession to anybody that wanted to go. I was kind of sweating. I felt so powerless. I felt like people didn't even get it. Went into the confessional, and it was amazing. People everywhere got out of their pews. Hundreds went to confession. It was a night of God moving in them. And I was thinking to myself, wait a minute here. I didn't even think anything was going on. I felt so powerless. I didn't feel like anything was happening. But God was moving through my powerlessness. If you remember, Paul the Apostle one time begged God. He had a thorn in the flesh. And not once, but three times, God, take this away. And you know what God told him? He said, Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient for you because my power works in your weakness. So to be human is to be weak and to be powerless and not to be in control. And I think that that's one of the problems that people who drink or any addiction and they're out of control drinking, their irresistibility toward alcohol, their loss of their willpower shows them that they are human, shows them that they're powerless, shows them that they need help. And you know what? That's okay. That's perhaps a place that everybody needs to be because we are not God. And there's a saying in the 12-step program, let go and let God. In other words, let God be God. And so I'm inviting you, if you have a problem in any area, it doesn't just have to be drinking or any other addiction, could be anger, could be resentment, Recognize your powerlessness, your humanness, and like Paul, let God's grace, His working in you, His wondrous presence in you, be sufficient. That's where joy comes from. Not having it all together, not being in control, not being a quote success, but being significant. And significance comes through a relationship with God, letting His power work in you. Because as I said before, I admitted that I wasn't happy. And I was in control, dating, partying, doing everything that I had learned was right to do, and it wasn't working. So I admitted that I needed help, and I sought that help. And it's not bad to search for help. I remember Paul the Apostle one time in one of his readings, he talked about being crushed beyond despair. He felt like he had been given the sentence of death. And then he said, that was to teach me that I can't rely upon myself, but I must rely upon the living God. And that's the first step. You must humbly admit that you have a problem, that you're human. And then you recognize that you are powerless over the problem and that you need help. And you know what? That's okay. It's okay to be human. It's okay to need help. Second step, really quickly. You come to believe, and you all have the capacity to believe. We are saved by faith, the Bible says. It's faith is like a channel through which God works. We walk by faith, step by step, and not by sight, the scriptures say. We came to believe in a power greater than ourselves. Greater than ourselves. We got to go beyond ourselves, folks. Look at the world. You didn't create this. Go beyond yourself. We came to believe in a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. That's the second step. Sanity, in this case, happiness, serenity, joy. Remember the happiness meter. Where are you on the happiness meter? Are you happy or not? Are you insane or do you need sanity? And we all need sanity. Serenity and sanity comes through God, a power greater than ourselves. So I was reading the big book. Again, I have told you before in other episodes, I myself am not in the 12-step program. I came to learn about it through ministry at our retreat center. But I've learned so much about spirituality and about my own life through the 12-step program as I have ministered in it and read the big book. The big book, of course, is Alcoholics Anonymous' Bible. And as I was reading the big book, it was written by co-founder Bill Wilson, Bill W., and he was the co-founder of Alcoholics Anonymous with Dr. Bob Smith. And he wrote this Bible, if you could say, this spiritual book called The Big Book. And if you're having a problem with any addiction, I invite you to read this big book. It's very inclusive. It's very non-threatening. It's very easy to read. And in the big book, he had a chapter and he talked about we agnostics, quote, we agnostics. He considered himself an agnostic as he began. And he came to believe. He came to faith in God through his addiction, through his drinking problem. He almost died from it. And he talked about himself as being an agnostic, and he coined the phrase we agnostics because he understands what it's like to be an agnostic, to not really know who God is, to not know about God's care and working in his life. And he talked about it in this chapter because he realized that many people who are addicted have trouble believing in God. Perhaps they have been burnt on religion, institutionalized religion, some denominations that they just can't stomach. And they have problems with religion. They have problems with God. And they don't know God. in the way that he works, so they consider themselves agnostics. So Bill W. threw himself into that boat, and he said, "We agnostics." And then in this chapter, amazingly, as I read it, what he did is he tried to help people come to faith. He talked about God in such a way as he tried to prove the existence of God. If you're Catholic, we have a great tradition of that, St. Thomas Aquinas and his five proofs for the existence of God. For example, Thomas Aquinas talked about the first cause. And he looked at creation and said, you know, everything logically that we've learned in life, that you have to have a cause. There has to be a first cause to this existence. For example, if there was a Big Bang, you know, the Big Bang theory, it was God who caused the Big Bang. So he talks about the five proofs of existence. Well, this is something that, in his own way, Bill Wilson tried to do in this chapter about we agnostics. And he talked about from science and from nature. He talks about how God exists. And he tried to help agnostics come to faith. And then he talked about faith, belief, in a wonderful way. He said, in order to address the problem of drinking, of alcoholism, of whatever addiction you may have, this is the solution now to the problem. In order to get better, we had to come to belief. This is one of the key ingredients, if you will, that you need to get better. There must be belief, not just belief, but belief in God, a higher power, somebody that could help you, that's got the power, because you're powerless, remember? You've tried to stop drinking, you've tried to stop drugging or pornography or gambling or whatever it is, and you don't have the power to do it. It hasn't worked. So you need a higher power. So it all starts with belief, and I love what he said. He said, this is where belief starts. He said, simply be open enough to be willing, have the willingness to believe in a higher power. Jesus talked about it as a mustard seed. He said, faith starts really, really small. And Bill Wilson said, it's simply the willingness, the openness to believe. You have the capacity to believe. Even if you don't go to church, even if you're not a member of a denomination, even if you're not Christian, you have the capacity. God puts the capacity to believe in everybody's heart. Just be open to the willingness to believe in God. God will do the rest. It starts really tiny. That's the tiny mustard seed, the willingness, the openness that there might possibly be a God. And God will take that little mustard seed and it will grow into a tree. And Jesus said the birds of the air will land on its branches. In other words, it will grow and grow and grow and become all that you are. So simply have the willingness to believe. Not just that there's a God, but that God is good. That God is awesome. That God loves you. Jesus taught about God, and he taught about God in so many ways. And he said that God is our Father, that God is loving, that he's protective and familiar and creative, that he loves us unconditionally. God appeared to Moses way back in the Old Testament, and this is how he identified himself to Moses. He said, I am a God gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abounding in kindness. Wow, I so love that. Gracious and merciful and kind and forgiving. That is the total opposite of the harsh, punitive, mean, angry God that some people have grown up with. No wonder they don't want anything to do with it. I want you to believe not only in God, but believe that God is good and that God has all power. That's exactly what I experienced in my life as a young man. I experienced God's goodness and his love. I did not have an inkling that I would ever become a priest. I remember I was sitting next to a woman on an airplane one time and didn't know her. She turns to me and she said, so what do you do for a living? And I said, I'm a Catholic priest. And she looked at me, she said, you're a Catholic priest? I said, yeah. She goes, you know, I have a theory about that. She said, I think that some people are just kind of, they have this within them, this kind of like destiny to become what they are. For example, a fireman, they kind of always wanted to be that and they become that, or a policeman or a lawyer. And she said, I think that's probably what happened with you. And I looked at her and I said, well, that may be, but I don't think so in my case, because I was never even an altar boy. I didn't really want to become a priest, didn't really like religion. I was never all that religious growing up, although I was born and brought up Catholic. But God touched me when I was 18 years old because I wasn't happy. And I sought God, and I believed that there was a God. And when he touched me, I realized the truth and the awesomeness of God. And I realized that I was being called at that moment. And there was no greater thing that I could do but to give thanks for his love for me. Because I experienced God as so loving, so gracious, so good, that I just wanted to give thanks for the rest of my life. I'm celebrating today my 27th anniversary as a priest. Nothing makes me more happy than to reach out to people and to try to help them to come to God. And so that's exactly what I'm trying to do through this program. Is there a problem in your life? Then admit it. Humbly admit it. Quit denying it. You are never going to get better, and you're never going to be happy until you come square and face to face and confront your issues, whether it be an addiction, whether it be anger, resentment, self-hate, whatever it is. Just simply admit it and go from there. And then the second step, and it's step by step, recognize that you're powerless over your problem. That's part of the first step. And then the second step is come to believe in a power, in God, personal God, your Father who gave you life, who can restore you, who has redeemed you, who will bring you new life. And I've come to find that that's what life is all about. My happiness meter, inner joy, that's what the gospel was all about. Don't rejoice that demons are subject to you. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. This is lasting joy. This is what the world is searching for. But unfortunately, most people are just grasping for the temporary, and they don't know about the lasting. And it's interesting. Addiction and problems can lead through faith, through admitting your own humanness and trusting in God, can lead to everlasting life. God is there for you, and he loves you very much. God bless you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.